Whatever it is that you read the Bible in, can you get that out? And turn to Proverbs. God is so good. He has been speaking very clearly this morning to us. And we're going to look at Proverbs 3. So we're actually going to read a bit from there. So if you want to go right to the beginning of Proverbs, you know, I've been thinking there's so many voices around, isn't there, in our world. Who is loving the election campaign? Yes, I see that hand. Every time you turn on the radio or you turn on the TV or you see someone up the street, you know, I can't even go to Woolies these days without someone handing me something that wants, you know, some information for me. There's a lot of voices out there, and not just about the election, everywhere. There are voices everywhere trying to give us information and telling us how to raise our children or how to have a happy marriage or how to have a happy life or how often we should work or how often we should go on holidays, where we should go on holidays, how we should go on holidays. There's just so much information out there. Everyone has an opinion and everyone wants you to know their opinion, and we have to be really careful as Christians. There's a lot of clever and intellectual people around who offer advice and counsel, but as followers of Jesus Christ, we're not called to be clever. Praise God. We're not called to be clever. But we are called to be wise. And there's a big difference. There's a big difference between being clever and wise. And I hope that we might look a little bit at that this morning. And there's only one place for us to find true wisdom. Right, church? He's written a whole book about it. Well, he's written lots of books. And in this big library of books, there's one book in particular that is full of wisdom, and that's Proverbs. So I want to have a look at that this morning. First, as an introduction, I do just want to read a little bit from Proverbs 1, just to set the scene a little bit. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. So these are the Proverbs of Solomon, David's son, king of Israel. Their purpose, so the whole purpose of this book is to teach people wisdom and discipline, to help them understand the insights of the wise. Their purpose is to teach people, that's you and me, we're people, their purpose is to teach people to live disciplined and successful lives, to help them do what is right, just and fair. These proverbs will give insight to the simple, knowledge and discernment to the young. Let the wise listen to these proverbs and become even wiser. Let those with understanding receive guidance by exploring the meaning in these proverbs and parables, the words of the wise and their riddles. Fear of the Lord is the foundation of true knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. So I don't know about you, but I want to be a wise person in God's sight. I want to hear God's wisdom. So one of the proverbs, I want to look at one this morning, and we're going to look at Proverbs 3. For those of you who've been here at MCF in the last few weeks, you know, you have felt that God has started something fresh, right? He's made his presence felt amongst us, and we have a sense of anticipation. I've heard that word a bit this morning. There is a sense of anticipation that God is wanting to do something and has started to do something new in us. And now is a time, more than ever, that we need to have wisdom. Individually and as a church, as a family. So I'm speaking on two levels this morning. I want you to hear this as an individual because God is speaking to you. God does have a plan for your life. And guess what? He wants you to know what that is. He's not trying to keep it a secret from you. He wants you to know what the plan is. He wants you to know the way that you should go. And he desires and longs to tell you what that is. And then he's so clever, I want to say, but he's so wise. He's not only wants that for us as individuals, he's put us together in this family and he wants us corporately to know the way that we should go. From this moment on, the way that we should go. I either have to make the print bigger or wear my glasses. Now is the time that we need wisdom. We as a family here at MCF need to know the path that the Lord wants us to take. I've had conversations with many of you about the things that are happening in your lives. And you know, I've had conversations with you about my life. And the thing that comes out more than ever is that we need wisdom. There's so many things in our lives. All of you, we could go around this room and all of you could tell me a story today that we would scratch our heads and go, I don't know what to do about that. God wants us and we need his wisdom. We need to know the path that God wants us to take, the next step in our life and the decision that we're to make. The good news today is that God has that path already set out and he's got a good plan for you. He's got a good path for us. He has good plans for his family and he wants us to know what it is. He wants to show us the path that we should take as individuals, his children and his body, his family. So there's a few verses in Proverbs 3 that I want us to look at, and they're well known. I'm sure you know them. I'm sure you could recite them to me. But as Pam said, you know, about our worship this morning, let's take a moment to just step back and just sit in this for a minute and see what God really is saying to us. Not what we've heard before, not what we think we know it means. Let's just lay all that down and really see what God wants to say to us. Verses. So Proverbs 3, let's start at the beginning. Verse 1, my child, never forget the things I've taught you. Store my commands in your heart. If you do this, you will live many years and your life will be satisfying. Man, I want a satisfying life. I want that. Let loyalty and kindness, never let loyalty and kindness leave you. Tie them around your neck as a reminder. Write them deep within your heart. Then you will find favour with both God and people. I want that. I want favour with God and with people. And you will earn a good reputation. I want that too. There's so many things in here I want. I want a satisfying life, God. I want favour with you and with people. And I want a good reputation. So the Lord now tells us how to do that. He says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you the path you should take. Trust in the Lord. Heard that somewhere else this morning. When God gave us that word about, will you trust me? Will you trust me? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do and he will show you the path to take. These verses are more than a proverb. They're more than just good advice. They're more than just something that sounds good. We think, oh yeah, that's a good idea. This is a promise from God. The promise from the Lord is that if these certain conditions are found and practiced in your life, he will show you the right path to take. It's a steadfast promise. So let's have a look at a couple of these principles that we need to put into practice. Number one is trust in the Lord with all your heart. What is trust? Trust is a firm, this is the dictionary's definition, the firm belief in the reliability, the truth or ability of someone or something. To have confidence in it, to be confident, to be bold, to be secure. We've heard that this morning about being secure, to be protected. This one in particular really got me, and I kind of feel like I should demonstrate it, but I don't know if I can. The word trust here used in verse 5 means to lie helpless face down. It pictures a servant waiting for the master's command in readiness to obey. And that's what I want you to picture this morning with the Lord in front of you. Trust, that is a bold statement for you to make. To that laying down, face down in front of someone is total surrender. When you're laying face down, you can't see what's going on around about you, what's coming behind you or to the side of you. There's full trust in who's in front of you and who's going to give you the direction. That's the sort of trust in God that we need to have. You know, it's in our nature to trust in something or in someone. We always do, even if it's ourselves. We want to put our trust and our faith and our hope in something. Here in Proverbs 3, we are told to trust in the Lord. We're not told to trust in the world's wisdom or clever strategies or the latest thing you've heard on TV or the greatest book you've just read, although those things can help. But that's not where our help comes from. Our help comes from the Lord. We're to put our trust firmly in the Lord. And quickly, after number one comes number two, we're told to trust in him with all of our heart. God wants us to trust him with all that we are, to trust him in every area of your life, our work, our leisure, our relationships, our money. He wants us to trust him with the lot. Too often we only seek God on the important things, the really important, the things that we think are important. Oh, yeah, I should go and ask God about that. But we don't trust him. He wants everything. He wants to know, he wants you to go to him for everything, every decision you need to make. Everything we do is important to God, and we're to trust him with it all. What areas of your life are you closing off to the Lord? We all have them, areas that we don't want him to look at, and we actually don't ask him about them because we know, or we think we know what he's going to tell us, and we don't want to hear it. And I know I'm not the only one who's done that, so don't look at me like that. When you have something going on and you go, and you know that you should go to the Lord with it, but you think you know what he's going to say, so you're like, it's like putting your fingers in your ears and la, 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 can't hear you. I've had that conversation before with a wise person counselling me, saying, well, have you gone to the Lord? I'm like, yeah, no, I don't want to. Because I know once I hear what he's got to say, I need to obey it. So we do that. We close off areas of our life to him, or we think he's not interested in that area. He's interested in every area of our life. I want you to picture this. You know, we think about the rock. We think about the rock and the sand, you know, the house that's built on the rock and the house that's built on the sand. And, you know, if you've got one foot on the rock and one foot on the quicksand, you're still going to sink. It doesn't matter that you've got one foot on the rock, you're still going to sink. So God wants it all. All of it needs to be on the rock, because otherwise you're still going to sink. So you might be trusting God. You might go to God with every decision you need to make about your business, but you're not asking him a thing about your family. You're going to sink. You know, you might be asking him about your family, but not talking to him about the job that you should take, or whether, you know, any of those things. He wants to know it all. He wants to give you wise counsel on it all. The next line in this verse tells us what the opposite of trusting God looks like. God often does that. He'll teach us what he means by showing us the opposite of what not to do. So the next verse says, do not lean on your own understanding. What's our own understanding? There's three ways I've thought of that we depend on our own understanding. You know, we depend on our feelings. You know, and God says, these are things, this is what it means to lean on your own understanding. Don't depend on your feelings. I thank God for feelings. I love feelings. I'm a crier. I love crying at a good movie. I love feeling happy. I love emotion. God loves emotion. He's written books of poetry in here. He's written sad books, history books. God covers all the emotions, and he wants us to be aware of our emotions, and they're meant to be signposts to us and warnings to us in our lives. But they're not where we go when we need to make a decision. It doesn't matter what you feel like, because I can tell you, I can feel really strongly about something today that I change my mind about tomorrow. And so if I base my decision-making on my feelings, I'm all over the place. It's not a good thing to trust in my feelings. They're not reliable. My feelings are not reliable, because I can have feelings about something and then I learn another little bit piece of information, maybe from someone, that totally changes the way I think about that. So my feelings are totally unreliable when it comes to decision-making. So don't depend on your feelings. Don't depend on your thinking. We're so good at being able to rationalise things when it comes to a decision. I can talk myself into anything. I can tell myself, that's a great idea, Karen. You should go do that because of A, B, C and D. I can really create a good argument for myself about, especially if it's something I really want to do, I can really come up with some good reasons why I absolutely should do that. Same goes for when I don't want to do things. I can come up with a lot of reasons why I shouldn't do them. So I can't depend even on my own rational understanding. That's not something I can rely on. I can make good reasons for anything. We often want God to show us the path that he has in mind, and then we say, well, you know what, that's a good idea, God, I'll just think about that for a while. That's what we say to God. We say, I want you to show me the path that you want me to take, but before I do anything about it, just let me think about it for a little while and I'll see if I agree with you. And then if I agree that it's a good idea, then I'll do something about it. And if I don't agree that it's a good idea, then we'll have another conversation about this, God. Now, it might not quite go like that for you, but it goes something like that, where you want to know the plan first. Why do you want to know the plan first? Because you want to rationalise it. You want to think it over. You want to decide whether that will be good for you. You want to cross every T and dot every I before you move. That's not how it works. So don't depend on your feelings. Don't depend on your thinking. And don't depend on your own will, your motives. Half the time we don't even know we've got an underlying motive in our heart. We think our motives are always so pure. You know what? Our heart is wicked and deceitful, and it lies to us. And so our motives are something that we can't even depend on. We're not to lean on our own understanding. You know, we're told that we're only to trust in the Lord, laying down before him. It means that we lay down our feelings, we lay down our thinking, we lay down our will to him, to trust that he will show us the right path to take, even if we don't always understand the way that he asks us to go. So number one, we trust in the Lord. Number two, we trust in him with all of our heart. And number three, we seek his will in all we do. Seek his will. This means to actively inquire of the Lord before we make the decision. So often we choose a path and we're walking down the path and then we're like, oh yeah, God, by the way, will you bless this path that I'm walking on? We already start out with the idea and then we ask God to bless it after we've already made the decision. We pray that prayer, Lord, please bless what I'm about to do. And then we wonder why it doesn't work out. And then who gets the blame? He does. We blame God. Well, why didn't that work out? Why didn't that? You said, he didn't say that. He said, you seek my will first before you make the decision. The New King James Version of this verse actually says that we should acknowledge the Lord in all our ways. That word acknowledge is actually the same word that means to know him. The Hebrew word for acknowledge means to know deeply and intimately. It's the kind of knowing that comes from experience, to know someone inside out, through and through. You know, you can know someone and not know them. Right? I know lots of people, but I don't know them. I don't know who they are. I don't know what they think. I don't know what they feel. I know of them. And I can say, oh, yeah, I know that person. I've met them, but I don't really know anything about them. I'm sure all of you in your life, and especially anyone in here who's married, you know what it's like to know someone and to have someone. You know, when you've been with someone for a long time, they can finish a sentence for you. That's so annoying. They really know what you're like. It used to annoy me no end when I would try to be pretending I was feeling a certain way about something and Charlie would be like, it's not what you think really. I'm like, yes, it is. He'd be like, no, it's not. And inside I'm going, no, it's not. And it really annoys me that you know that. You know, when you've been with someone for, it comes through experience. It comes through spending time with someone. You know, kids, I'm sorry, kids, but guess what? You're going to grow up just like your parents. I just spent some time with my mum. I'm really sorry if that's bad news for you. But it's true. I just spent some time with my mum and my sisters in Western Australia. And, you know, I haven't spent a lot of time with them, but I grew up with them. And it was really scary to me to be in a room with three other women that behave just like me. That was a real eye-opener. You know, my mum would do something. I'm like, whoa, I do that. Or my sisters would say something, or just our mannerisms or the thing that we would do or say. Now, that comes from a lifetime of just being in each other's presence, of having conversations with them, of eating with them, of going through hard times with them and sad times and happy times and celebrating. I know the things that will make them happy. I know the things that will say make them sad. You know, when you know someone well, you know exactly the thing that's going to cut them because you know them well. You know the thing that's going to make them happy because you know them well. It comes from experience. Parents have that with their children. Children have it with their parents. You have it with your partner, with your husband or your wife. And this is the kind of relationship that God's saying, this is the sort of relationship I want you to have with me. I want you to know me in all my ways. I want you to know what I think about things. I want you to know how I feel about things. I want you to know my mind and to know my desires for you. And it only comes out of relationship. It only comes out of spending time with him. You can't learn it from someone else. You can't learn it from me. You can't learn my relationship with God. You need to have one yourself. And it comes through spending time with him. And God is so good to us because guess what? He's written a whole book about it. Everything he thinks, he's written down. All his feelings are in here. He, if you want to know what he thinks or feels on any given subject, he's written it down for you because he knows what sort of people we are. He knows what sort of person I am that he might tell me once and then guess what, I'm going to forget it next week, so I've got to go back and look in the book again. It's like an open test. I love that about God. He does that so often. He just lays it out there before you. He's written a book and so you can learn what God thinks about anything. This is a beautiful book. This is a precious book. And it's not the book itself, whether it's on an iPad or on your phone. It's his word to you. It's his love letter to you. He wants to communicate with you his thoughts and his feelings and his emotions so that you'll know how to be just like him. It's all there ready for you to discover. He's written down the kind of people that he wants us to be. It covers everything from the way that we're to speak to each other, the way that we're to treat other people, the way that we're to use our money, the way that we're to spend our time and energy, the things that we should give to, the things that are important to him, the things that please him, the things that don't please him. Because there are things that don't please God. There are things that make him angry and that make him sad and that make him disappointed. Do you know that God can be all of those things? But he's written it down so that you'll know him. He's also given us prayer. You know, prayer is to communicate with God, but we get so religious about prayer. I was out yesterday, because it's so good to be out of ISO. I was out yesterday with my five-year-old granddaughter. And we're just driving along in the car, and you know, she goes, "Are these the church songs?" Umi, because my grandkids call me Umi. "Yeah, they're the church songs. They're about Jesus." She goes, "Oh, I love these church songs." I said, "That's great." And then something must have come up about a song about praying. And she said, "Well, what does that mean?" She wanted to know what prayer means. You know, this is a kid who doesn't have any religiosity. What is it? Well, I just said to her, "Well, you know what? It's just talking to God." And she goes, "Well, what sort of things do you tell him?" I said, "Well, I tell him I love him." She goes, "Oh, that's not a very long prayer." I said, "No, it's not." I said, "What kind of things would you tell God?" And she said, "Well, I would tell him how good he is and how great he is and how clever he is to create this." And then she went on and on and on and on and on and on. I said, "Well, that's a really long prayer." And she said, "Yeah." And I said, "Well, guess what? We just prayed." You know, it's that simple. It is that simple, guys. It's that simple to have a conversation with God. Tell him what you're feeling and what you're thinking, but don't forget to let him tell you what he's thinking and what he's feeling. It's a two-way conversation. It's not a monologue. So prayer can be simple but powerful. It's one of the most powerful things that we have for God to communicate with us. So we get into his word, we pray and we communicate with the Lord, and thirdly, we seek wise counsel. You know, God's placed us in a family and this is his protection for us. We're to seek wise counsel. The book of Proverbs, I don't know how many times it says in there, "My son, don't forget what I've taught you. Seek wise counsel, find wise counsel, seek out wise counsel." There is some wise counsel in this room and in this family that we have. And I would encourage you to find someone who is your spiritual mother or father. And that's got nothing to do with age, by the way, or how clever they are, or how long they've, you know, been on this earth. It's got nothing to do with that. It's about their spiritual wisdom. And God will direct you in that path also to show you the ones that you should seek wise counsel with. I have people in my life who I can go and share deep things with and know I feel safe with them. I know that they can say to me, Karen, you are way off. And I trust that because I know that God's the one who's put them in my life. My pastor, fellow elders, you know, you've got in this house, God's put safety around about us. It's in the testimony of two or three witnesses. If you're feeling a leading from God or you need wisdom and you've been to the Word and you've prayed, then you go and you seek wise counsel. And don't ignore that wise counsel if they're not saying what you want to hear. Don't just go find someone who's going to agree with you. You need people in your life who are going to speak truth and wisdom to you. So I would encourage you to really seek that out because that's the Lord's way for us. I just want to just remind us, though, even though God's given us this clear direction on the principles that we practice and we can take that and we can do that, it's not a formula. It's not a formula. God speaks to us in so many different ways, but he's put these things in place for us to give us safety. So, for instance, I'll just give you an example of what I mean. I think I shared this story with a few people not too long ago about I think it was the first Sunday I ever came to this church or the first weekend. There was a presbytery happening for those who, the golden oldies here, who remember that. Yeah, I see that hand. Yeah. There's a few. There was a presbytery going on here. And so for those of you who don't know what that is, it was some prophets had come in. You know, it was something that had been planned for a long time. The people of the church had been praying and seeking God and fasting. And there were some prophets came in. They were special meetings and they were prophesying over people. And it was wonderful. God was moving. But that's not something I've ever experienced before in my life to that point. And I think I was sitting roughly where Sandy's sitting there and Iris was sitting next to me. And just in my head, I'm going, this is a bit weird. I've not experienced this before. God, if this is real, if this is of you, then you need to prove it to me. Like we cannot tell God to do anything. But I did do that. God, you need to prove it to me. The next thing I know, I open my eyes and there's feet in front of me and it was John Jacks, one of the prophets, and he says, I don't know, but God just says he really needs to prove something to you. Yeah. Exactly. I don't remember the rest of that prophecy. I've got it written down somewhere. I'm like, okay, that's enough. I get it. But does God speak to me like that every time I need direction? No, he doesn't do that every time I need direction. You know, sometimes I've opened the Word and a verse has just leapt out at me and I know it's for my heart and I know it's God's direction for my life. But that doesn't, you know, be really careful about that because you might open the Bible. If you're just going to the Bible willy-nilly and trying to find, okay, God, what's my direction for today? Be careful doing that. That is dangerous, you know. So sometimes he shows me through the words, sometimes like that. But I want to just say God is not a formula. But what he does want us to do is put these principles into place because it's safety for us. So church, I just really feel that where we are at as a church and where we're at as individuals, there is a path that we're about to or we've actually already walking on it. But as we continue, he says, my word is a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. So we keep looking at his word for every step that we're going to take in the coming days. As individuals, there is a lot of noise out there. So we need to quieten all that other noise down and get back to the source. For your own life, don't be listening to what the world says. You go to the word and you get to know him. Get to know him intimately so that you know what he's thinking. You know what he's feeling without a doubt. You know what he would want you to do in that situation. Get to know him in an intimate, personal way. Find people, put people around about you that God can speak to you through and seek wise counsel. So the promise for us today is that if we will trust in the Lord with all of our heart, and don't depend on our own understanding. He is going to show us the path that we should take. And it's a good path. Isaiah 26, 3-4 says, You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. That word trust there is exactly the same word that's used in Proverbs. So when we do these things, church, we can trust that God will direct our path. We can go forward in peace, believing that through his word, through the leading of the Holy Spirit, through wise counsel, and you stay in this family. No matter what you do, no matter who upsets you, no matter who doesn't say hello to you or who looks at you the wrong way or who doesn't call you or who stomps on your feet or who into... You stay in this family. You don't get to choose your family, right? You can choose your friends. I know that. But you don't get to choose your family. These people are around your around you are your family, whether you like it or not. Sometimes we like it and sometimes not. But you are in this family because God has put you here. So if you've got a problem with that, you go talk to him about that. But you do everything that you can to stay in this body, in the body that he's planted you in. And if you've got issues, you work through them and you talk to each other because that's what we do as family. There are times I know that sometimes I get so upset with my family because they don't do what I want them to do or they've hurt me or something, and that's going to happen because we're human. But this is safety for us, church. This is where God wants us and needs us to be, and I need you to be here. So when we do these things, we can trust that God will direct our path. Let's go forward in peace, believing that through his word, through the Holy Spirit, and through the counsel of others, that we will walk along the right path. Let's pray. Father, thank you that we can call you Father. Just that alone should stop us in our tracks. We call you Father. And you are a generous, compassionate, kind, loving, faithful, true, righteous, just, merciful God. And you have given us everything we need to live a godly life, to live a life that is pleasing to you, that brings glory to your name, and that we can be a witness to you in this time and in this season. I thank you that you have a good path for us as individuals and as a body, and that you want us to know that path and walk that path with confidence, even when we don't understand it. But we choose today, Lord, I choose today to lay down before you in trust and surrender and say, have your way in our lives, Lord. We trust in you with all that we are. We will seek your face. We will seek your will in all we do. And we will walk on the path, Lord, that you've directed us to. Thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you that you've given us this time and you've given us your word today. And I just pray that you seal this word in hearts today, that when we walk out the door, it won't just fly away and be gone. But this, what's happened today in this place, will change us to be more like you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, church.